Today, I'm going to talk about Jonah. Jonah, to me, is a story of forgiveness and also of unforgiveness. In Jonah 1, verse 2, we read, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." And in verse 3, Jonah runs away. He flees from the presence of the Lord. Because of this, Jonah gets eaten by a giant fish. In 2 verse 1, we read, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and the Lord forgives Jonah." In chapter 3, the voice of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time and says, "Arise, go to Nineveh." And this time, Jonah goes. Jonah gets to Nineveh and he cries against the city, and the king and the people hear him and they repent. They put on sackcloth and ashes, and they cry to the Lord, and the Lord forgives them. He forgives the entire city of Nineveh. And then we get to chapter 4. And we read in chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord, and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was this not my saying, when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repentest thee of thy evil." The New English Translation reads this as, "O Lord, this is just what I thought would happen when I was in my own country. This is what I tried to prevent by attempting to escape to Tarshish, because I knew that you are gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in mercy, one who relents concerning judgment." Jonah was displeased that God forgave the entire people of Nineveh. I don't know whether it was because Jonah knew what it was that Nineveh and the people of Assyria, Nineveh being an Assyrian city, would do to Israel in the future, or whether it was already the history that they had between them. But Jonah could not forgive Nineveh. God forgives all the time. He forgave Abraham when he lied to Pharaoh about Sarah being his sister. He forgave David when he sinned with Bathsheba. He even forgave Paul for an entire life of persecution of his believers. We see God forgive the Israelites throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament on a daily basis. But I think we tend to be a little bit too much like Jonah. I mean, it's easy to do. It's easy to say, "I'm justifiably angry for God because this person has sinned." It's easy to say, "Their sin was against me, and I don't have to forgive them. I just can't let it go. Not yet." I once held a grudge against somebody for almost 2 years over something I didn't even know whether they had done or not. I just thought maybe they had done it. Just recently, a few weeks ago, a friend did something to me that hurt me. It hurt me personally, it hurt me emotionally, and it hurt my pride. And I was ready to completely throw away my relationship with this friend because of something they had done to me. And then I talked with a brother, and he basically told me this. He said, "Why throw away your relationship with this person over one mistake? If God can forgive them, then why can't you?" And we know that God can forgive them. So I was ready to be done with this person permanently. I think Paul is a wonderful man to study if you're looking for how to treat your brothers and sisters. Paul strikes me as a stern person. His letters are meant to critique and to reform sinful ecclesias, to encourage them in the proper way to go. His letters are filled with warning, but he doesn't ever lose that word of love to his brothers and sisters. He doesn't do what we so often do to our brothers and sisters. He doesn't cut off communication. He doesn't stop talking to them. Instead, he approaches and greets them and says, "Grace and peace unto you." And we read this in Romans 1, verse 7. In Romans 1, verse 7, let me get there. Romans 1, verse 7 says, "To all that be in Rome, beloved to God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And he says the same thing in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, and again in Galatians 1, verse 3. Paul even instructs us on our relationships with our brothers and sisters in Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32. Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." And of course, Paul is only repeating what Christ has laid out for us. We can read this in Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15. Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." And he repeats the same thing in Matthew 18, 21 and 22, when Peter comes up to Christ and says, "How many times should I forgive my brother? I've already forgiven him seven times." And Christ says, "Until 70 times 7. And this doesn't mean you can forgive your brother 140 times and then be done with him. It means forgive your brother, always. We can see why this is such an important message in the story of Jonah. And we can also see what it does to families. It can destroy families who hold grudges against each other. We can see this in Genesis 37, verse 4, with the story of Joseph. Genesis 37, verse 4 says, "And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." And Jacob had 12 sons. Well, at this time he had 11 sons. But he loved Joseph more than all of his sons. It says that a couple verses before. And his brothers see this and they hate Joseph for it. They hate him so much that they can't have a civil conversation with him. They can't say one peaceable word to him. And so what do? They take Joseph and they sell him. They sell their own flesh and blood because they can't let go one thing. Because of this grudge that they held against Joseph, they almost ripped apart their entire family. And Abraham says that it almost killed him. Galatians 3, verse 27 and 28 says that we are a family. If we go there and read it, Galatians 3, 27, 28. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all one family waiting for Christ to return. Just like the inability to forgive threatened a disaster on Joseph's family and almost caused me to throw away a precious friend, it can also ruin our family. And it is also the message that Christ brought us. So I'll leave you with Leviticus 19, verse 18, and John 3, 16 and 17. Leviticus 19 and 18. Leviticus 19, 18 says, "Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." And John 3, verse 16. John 3, 16 and 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved."